This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Greetings, listeners. Rodney Brown speaking. Good to be with you today and to bring something from the Bible. Today I want to read in the Gospel by Luke and chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. It's a reading from the Old Testament that Jesus did in the synagogue in Nazareth, and he reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Last time I was reading these verses and spoke about Christ coming to preach the gospel to the poor. He was reading from Isaiah chapter 61, and he showed how that Isaiah 61, that Old Testament messianic prophecy concerning Messiah, concerning Christ who would come, he says that it was fulfilled in himself. What a claim to make. But indeed, from this scripture and from many other scriptures, we know that he indeed was the fulfillment of the scriptures of the Old Testament concerning Messiah. Last time we thought about him being anointed by the Spirit to preach the gospel to the poor, and we saw how that he did that not by speaking nice words, not by keeping himself at a distance from others, but entering into poverty himself. And he did that in his life, in his birth, and in his upbringing, his circumstances. But ultimately, at the cross of Calvary, he became poor, we thought, of that scripture in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, so that we, through his poverty, we who in ourselves are poor, that we through his poverty might become rich, come into spiritual riches through believing in him. But we continue in the verse today to read how that he also came to heal the brokenhearted. Many broken hearts there are, and these hearts have been broken over many things. And we could ask, well, why are so many hearts broken? And really, this is all because of the sin that came into the world so early in human history. Before sin entered, there were no broken hearts, because all was perfect there, because God had done everything. And of course, all that God does is good and very good. But tragically, Adam sinned. He brought sin into the world, and it had serious consequences for himself and his wife and for all their descendants. And we are all descendants of Adam and Eve. And after he sinned, then we read how that God said everything would be changed for him. And so it was. And so many hearts are broken, not only then, but also today, because of the sin that came into the world. But then we read how that he came into the world to heal the brokenhearted. We remember that he was in a place where there were no broken hearts. He was in heaven. He was in fellowship there with God, his Father. He was always there in a perfect relationship. It was such a loving relationship because the Father, God, loved him. And we know that he loved God, his Father. But he left that place there, that perfect place, and he came into this world with so many broken hearts. And we could ask the question, if heaven was such a beautiful place, and it was, if it was such a wonderful place, and if there were no broken hearts there, and that was true, why would he leave it? And why would he come here? We read in this verse that he came to heal the brokenhearted. And we read of him here in this world. There were many things that caused him deep sorrow. We remember at his birth there was no place given to him. And we read how that Mary brought forth her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. We read of him a little bit later in his life. We read about his brothers, how that they at that point did not believe in him. And we think of him, and he knew who he was. He knew why he had come here. He knew what his mission was. But those family members didn't. They didn't know who he was, and they didn't know why he had came, and what grief that must have caused his heart when his own family didn't believe in him. And then not only his own family, but his nation, the nation of Israel. They ultimately rejected him, and they called for his death, and he was handed over to the Roman authorities and led to the place of execution. Indeed, he was known as a man of sorrows, Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 3. And we know that in his life of ministry, his life of miracles, that he took on himself the sorrows of others. We read in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 16 about those who were possessed by demons and those who were sick. And we read how that he expelled those demons and he healed those who were sick, taking upon himself the sorrows of others. But we know not only did he do such things in his life, but even more so in his death, when he suffered for sin, which was the cause of every other problem in the world. Yes, indeed, we could think of many broken hearts, brokenheartedness, but sin was the cause of it all. And we've all had troubles. We've all had griefs. We've all had sorrows in our lives. And these things have come to us because of the situation in this world. Not only that which has come because of what is external, but that which is internal, because we all have that nature of sin. We all have that sin problem in ourselves. And because we have the nature of sin, then we commit sins in our lives. And sin causes all these problems and all of this brokenheartedness. But we read here that he has been sent to heal the brokenhearted. Now, we think about how he came to do that. And as it was with him preaching the gospel to the poor, entering into poverty, the absolute poverty of Golgotha, so that we who are poor might become rich. So it was with this thought of being brokenhearted. And we think of him, how he must have sorrowed whenever they didn't believe in him, and whenever they rejected him, and whenever he went to the cross. And even more so than others not believing in him and others rejecting him, his own God that he had served forever. To think of his own God forsaking him there on the cross. And in Psalm 69 and verse 20, another portion of scripture with prophecy concerning himself, the Messiah, the Christ, it says, "Reproach has broken my heart." And we think of him there as the brokenhearted one on the cross. When we think of what he suffered, we think of what he endured when he took that suffering for the sins of others upon himself, when he took the sin of the world upon himself, when he died for the sins of others there at Calvary. The Bible says that he died for our sins, and he was buried, and he rose again, and he went through that all so that the brokenhearted may be healed. And the Lord knows all about us. He knows all about our circumstances, our situation in life, and he knows what the end will be for us all. But he came to bless us. He came to cleanse us. He came to forgive us. He came to save us. And he has done this all. The work for all has been completed at Calvary's cross. And so we can have the blessing through realizing who we are in ourselves, but who he is and what God sent him to do and what the Spirit anointed him to do. And we can have that healing that is necessary, that spiritual healing, so that we come into blessing eternally. Thank you for listening to the message today. If you would like to contact me, you can do it on my email address, rodwbrown@gmail.com.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.